This is Pastor Joshua Swilly, and you're listening to the Hope United podcast. We pray that this message is a blessing to you. Amen. Amen. Well, welcome to everybody that's in the house tonight. God bless you. I love you. I love you. And we love everybody that's at home tonight. We just want to welcome you. And you can type amen right now. We're going to get to this incredible word that God has given us. And I think that it's just so powerful when we open the word of God that there is something profound for us in every single season of our life, in every single day, in every single week. I was just talking to my daughter around the dinner table tonight. Yes, we had an early dinner. And I was just saying, look at this. And I had my journal right there and I said, look, these are the things that God has spoken to me when I open up and I read his word. And she said, did you hear all that today? And I said, no. That's different days. God speaks to me on different days. And so it's that the same should be true about all of us as believers. When we open up God's word on a daily basis, God, there begins to become a momentum of revelation that happens in your life. And you might get something small off of one verse today, and you might get a whole paragraph off of a different verse tomorrow. But to make it a discipline in your life to open up the Bible every day and just read something, it doesn't have to be a lot, but just that you get in there and open up an opportunity for God to show you something that you didn't see before. Let's pray. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would just touch our ears. God, let us hear what we need to hear. If there's anything that's not from you tonight, God, let it just fall to the ground. And everything, God, that is from you, God, let it take deep root in our heart. Let it challenge us, provoke us, encourage us, and lead us, Father, to a stronger, brighter, more successful future in you. In Jesus' name, everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Well, I am delighted to have Pastor Corinne with me tonight. Always a pleasure to twist her arm and get her up here with me. And so we're going to be coming to you out of Luke 16 today. Luke 16. And the topic is the power of faithfulness. Can you just say that with me? The power of faithfulness. And you can type that in right now. Faithfulness. It's amazing. So I want to read with you a little bit. We'll start in Luke chapter 16. Verse 1 and go all the way to verse 12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation, but you can take your translation out. It works just the same. Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a certain rich man who had a manager handling his affairs. And one day a report came that the manager was wasting his employer's money. So the employer called him in and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired." And the manager thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me. I don't have the strength to dig ditches and I'm too proud to beg. Ah, I know how to ensure that I'll have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." So he invited each person who owed him money to his employer to come and discuss the situation. And he asked the first one, "How much do you owe him?" And the man replied, "I owe him 100 gallons of olive oil." So the manager told him, "Take the bill, quickly change it to 400 gallons. "And how much do you owe my employer?" he asked the next man. "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat," what was the reply. "Here," the manager said, "take the bill and change it to 800 bushels." And the rich man had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd. And it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than are the children of light. Here's the lesson, he says, verse 9. Use the worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you to an eternal home. And if you are faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you're dishonest in little things, then you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. And if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, Why should you be trusted with things of your own? So there's some powerful truths that we can look at right there. But we have in our hands in this life worldly resources. We have resources. And Jesus tells us exactly what we should do with those things. One of the key things that we should use our worldly resources for is to help others, to bless others, and to build relationships. To word it in another way, to help others and to build relationships. What can I do with my natural resources that actually becomes a supernatural benefit and becomes a supernatural principle? Well, what I can do is I can use my resources to help others, and I can use it to build relationships.
I believe everything that God blesses us with, it's not just for us. You know, and I think a lot of people, they desire to be blessed for themselves. And sometimes they get frustrated because they don't see the blessing, or maybe it's because they're not looking, or maybe it's because they haven't earned the right to be able to do it because of the fact that they want it for themselves. We have to be good stewards. We have to be giving to others. And I think that when we can get to that place, that's when you truly begin to see the hand of God upon your life. Because when you become selfish with it, then it's just what the verse is saying. You know, like if you're trusted with a little bit and you can't do well with that, then, you know, how can he trust you with more if he knows that you're not going to be, you know, generous? But the greatest message that I get from this whole chunk is stewardship. Yeah. It's so important to have good stewardship.
And I think it's important, you know, having resources isn't bad. The Bible doesn't say that. Later in the scripture, it says you can't serve God and be enslaved to money. So it's not about not having money. It's right. About not being enslaved to money, as the New Living Translation right. would say. So resources can be a powerful tool when used correctly. And when God sees that we can use resources correctly, guess what? He gives us more resources. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And so I love this. Use the resources to help others and to build relationships. It's like sowing into people. Mm-hmm. We're sowing into people. We're sowing into relationships. What an incredible kingdom concept that I'm going to use my resources. I'm going to sow into people. I'm going to sow into relationships. Right. And, you know, when you think about it, the only thing that you take out of this world is relationships. You take your relationship with God, and you take your relationship with other brothers and sisters in Christ. Those are the things that cross over. So what an incredible and wise investment when we sow into yes. each other. I'm going to, with discernment, I'm going to sow into other people. I'm going to look for kingdom opportunities yes. to sow into relationships and build them up. You know, money and other resources are not bad. They are a tool to get us to a particular thing. And Jesus says, this is how you should use that tool.
Right.
So, and then he goes on to say, and when your possessions are gone, and here's a double meaning here. There's a natural implication and there's a spiritual implication. Natural implication is if you've been generous and you sowed into people, guess what? There's going to be some people around you that are going to want to help you out if you reach a point of limited resources.
Right.
You reach a point where you don't have anything or you don't have much. There's going to be people to step up, because in the natural, there is a spiritual principle at play in the natural. But the supernatural part of it, the spiritual part of it, is when you get to heaven, in the spiritual dimension, actually you're opening up doors in the spirit when you're activating generosity. So when I'm yes. sowing into people spiritually, it says right here in verse 9 that your generosity will welcome you into an eternal home. I love that. I never read it like that before, but it's beautiful to say that not only when your possessions are gone. So we know when we leave this dimension, our possessions are automatically gone from us. But our generosity is still, we carry our generosity. That there's a big scoreboard that one of the things up there on that scoreboard is our generosity, how much that we have given and sowed into other people's lives? How much have we given to the kingdom? You know, right. And so this is a big scorecard. And so it's saying right here, Jesus is saying, that generosity will welcome you into an eternal home. So that's part of the thing that opens heavenly doors for us.
I think it goes back to seed time and harvest.
Yeah.
Everything that we do is planting a seed. And I tell my kids this, everything you do plants a seed. When you plant a seed, it either brings forth something beautiful or something negative. So you have to make sure that you're planting good seeds. Mm-hmm. When we plant seeds in other people, we should always look for that opportunity. We should always look for an opportunity to give, whether it be towards when we do it with our offering, when we do it towards building somebody up, or whether we do it with our words. But I love this because you can see it at play in the verse itself. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. It's such a selfless act. Take a moment to plant a seed into somebody else. Then when your possessions are gone, they will welcome you into an eternal home. So then you get a harvest. And sometimes it's not back to back, right? We'll see there's a space of time.
Seasons.
Yeah, so I think it's important to always remember seed time and harvest. There's a time to plant the seed, and then there's a time to harvest it.
Yeah. I like what I heard one person say was that a lot of people talk about seed time and harvest, but they leave out one component. It's actually seed time, and part of it is waiting. Seed
yes.
time, seasons, and harvest.
Right.
You know, because we have to understand. If we don't understand the concept of seasons, then we get disappointed, we get frustrated because we sow and we immediately expect a harvest. But that's not really how it works in agriculture, and that's not how it works in the spiritual either. And so God shows that agricultural analogy to show us something that when we sow, there's seed time, there's season, and there's
right.
harvest. So you have to be in the season of harvest. Even though you've sown a seed, you can't go out there and yell at the seed that's still in the ground that hasn't had a chance to grow. You
right.
have to wait for the season of harvest. And so,
and I think, too, it's important to be very intentional.
Yeah.
I remember we sat down with somebody very wise, a bishop. Not our bishop, but a bishop. And I mean, he blew our mind with the things that he said. But one of the things was that every time he sits with somebody, he asks himself, is this benefiting them? Is this benefiting the kingdom? And I think it was one more thing, but
how is this a blessing to the person? How is this a blessing
yes.
to the kingdom? How is this a blessing to me? It always has to be a blessing. You know, there's we have to look at it from a standpoint of what type of kingdom opportunity is this? Because if I can't answer those three questions, then maybe we don't need to be spending time doing this right now. If this isn't going to bless you, it isn't going to bless the kingdom, it isn't going to somehow be a seed back into me, then we're not really doing something that's kingdom.
And I think
because
that
when there's something that's kingdom, there's always a payoff.
There's always a return.
There's always a return, even if it's somebody that you're mentoring. You
right.
are getting something. You're getting an eternal reward because you're mentoring. You're building the kingdom of God up. So those are important questions to ask
right.
from the standpoint of I'm sowing a seed in people.
But it's very intentional. That was the point I wanted to make. Everything we do, we need to be intentional with it because God has entrusted us with these things, with resources, with gifts, with talents. And we have to be good stewards of those things and intentional with everything that we do. That's how you can get sidetracked and either misuse it or distribute it the wrong way. So we always have to seek the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and be intentional with what we do.
Absolutely. I was hearing John Maxwell say, I was going back and revisiting Developing the Leader Within You, the 2.0. And he was saying that he was just reviewing the 20-80 principle that we've all heard a bunch of times, but basically that a lot of times 80% of the people that are taking from your time and are actually only giving back 20% to you. So it's important that you're looking and you're discerning every relationship by the Spirit, because there's some people that it's not really a benefit either way. You know, you may think that it's benefiting or they may think that it's benefiting, but we have to say, God, help me sow seeds into the right people. help me really be a blessing to people. Sometimes we get into comfort relationships. We're in a relationship just because it's comfortable. But a lot of times, some of the most advantageous relationships, some of the most kingdom relationships, will be sandpaper relationships. They will rub you all kinds of wrong, but that friction is creating a zeal for God. That friction is creating a forward progress like never before. You know, you think about it like this: a personal trainer, is that somebody that's a comfortable person in your life? Is that coach somebody that is a comfortable relationship in your life? No, that person gets on your nerves. That person makes you go the extra mile, the extra lap, the extra set, the extra rep. They're always pushing. But in the friction of that relationship is progress. And right. So that's the type of relationships we need to look for. We're not just looking for friction just for conflict's sake, but we're saying, Holy Spirit, what relationships do I need to have in my life? What relationships do I need to sow into? What relationships can I be in that can sow into me? And so we're thinking about this from the terms of sowing into people and being at a place where we could be sowed into as well. And so it's that the kingdom of God is a win-win.
Yes.
When you are being mentored, there's a win because somebody is sowing into you. They're sowing wisdom into you. But if you are the mentor, you're winning because that you have a sense of fulfillment of your purpose in God.
Right.
And so in essence, the kingdom of God is always a win. The kingdom of God is never like a lose win. You always win.
Yes.
So let's go a little bit further. Verse 10, if you'll go there with me. And it says, if you're faithful in little things, then you'll be faithful in large things. Faithful in little, then you'll be faithful in much. Jesus says in another parable, if you've been faithful over the little, then I'll make you ruler over much. And so little opportunities are the proving ground for bigger opportunities if we apply the spiritual principle of faithfulness. Oh, man. I wish more Christians would get this in their spirit.
Can you say it one more time?
I hope all of us at Hope get this in our spirit. Little opportunities are the proving ground for bigger opportunities when we apply the spiritual principle of faithfulness. I love this. Sometimes we give up too soon. God has given us a vision. He's given us a dream. He's given us a capability. And we start and we don't see the progress that we'd like to see. So we get tired, we get frustrated, we give up. But I heard this great analogy by John Maxwell, and it really has to do with faithfulness. And I was sitting there at a conference listening to him one time, and he said, if there is a tree out in your backyard, and you go out there and you take a bat, and you just take a couple of, just hit it as hard as you can 2-3 times, the tree is not going to come down. But if you keep on going at it every day, you got a bat, you got an axe, you just hit it a few good times, that thing is eventually gonna come down. Why? Because you are consistent, because
yes.
You are faithful. If we can grab a hold of the spiritual principle of faithfulness, there's so many things that have happened in my life, in my ministry, in our marriage, because we have been faithful. Faithful is powerful. You know, it may not look like a lot. Jesus says there's little opportunities, but those little opportunities can become bigger opportunities. Those small doors can become the large doors that you've dreamed about if you are faithful. Apply the spiritual principle of faithfulness. I love it. I love faithfulness. I seek people out that have faithfulness, you know, because it's just that powerful.
My mind was like, there's so many things right now. I think, you know, I saw a likeness of when we are in school and you take quizzes. If you are taking a quiz, it's to prepare you for the test. And in essence, these little opportunities are opportunities for us to learn and make sure that we get it. So then when we are tested, we're able to perform, you know, fully. And there's nothing, I think, that gets God's attention like faith. when we can be consistent, you see it throughout the word. You see how the woman who touched the hem of his garment, he felt her faith, her belief in him. And I think in our journey with God, our faith in him and our willingness to push and persevere and say, God, I believe you're faithful no matter what I'm facing, no matter if this test or this quiz is happening right now, I'm going to push through because I know that you're faithful. I know that what you've said to me in your word is going to be fulfilled. Like those moments, they grab his attention. And so when we're able to be consistent over time, then we start to see the reward. Then we start to see all those seeds that we've planted start to harvest something. And it's just so rewarding to see God's hand at work when you stick through it. We've seen it. I remember we've had some very honest conversations with each other when we've gone through different seasons where things were not on the mountaintop, as they say, you know, and it was frustrating, and we would have to dig our heels in and have that conversation and say, you know, God has been faithful to us. We got to continue to put our complete faith in him. And man, we've seen his hand, like in the times where I told him the other day, I said, I'm so thankful, you know, that God allows us to grow, that God allows us to go through seasons where sometimes we're not as faithful as we should be to him in our hearts, you know, where we say, yeah, we believe, yeah, we do this. And then like all of a sudden, you know, we find ourselves in situations that those things are exercised and you say, wow, God, yeah, I've seen where we were at this point and we see where we are now. God is so awesome like that. So my point is faith gets his attention when we can be faithful. Little bit by little bit, it continues to grow and grow and grow. So when you get to a certain place and you realize, you look back and you say, whoa, look how far we've come. And God is now rewarding you for that consistency.
You said something real key. You said honesty. And the next part of verse 10 that he says is, if you're not honest in the little things, you won't be honest in the greater responsibilities. I think it's important to start the right habits. Start the right habits even with the small doors, small opportunities that God gives you right now. Because you need to have honest conversations. You need to be honest with yourself. You need to be honest with those around you. You need to be honest in your relationship with God. Because, you know, if you can't be honest on a small level with the little things, then guess what? As things get bigger, the opportunities get bigger, the doors get bigger, the responsibility gets bigger, the scenarios become more complex. You're not going to be honest if you're not honest on the small scale. Jesus says, if you're not honest in the little things, you're not going to be honest when you have big responsibilities. So it's important that we start off on the right footing. And a lot of this, it has so many applications and implications when we talk about honesty. Of course, the part of, you know, a lie will bite you in the butt. You know, once you lie once, you have to do this to cover it up. You got to cover it up. Got to cover it up. So it's like a snowball of a huge issue that you thought you were with a little white lie in the beginning, trying to protect somebody's feelings or whatnot, or make something a little bit easier or not as harsh. But in the end, it ends up really crushing that person or crushing many people. But also, dishonesty, it hurts us just as much or more because we start lying to ourselves. We start a little bit of us begins to die, or a little bit of us begins to erode inside because that dishonesty, it's like an infection. Yeah. It's like a virus, you know, inside of us. And we're trying to have this healthy spiritual walk, and we're not being honest with the Lord, or we're not being honest with our spouse, or we're not being honest with ourselves. We're not being honest with the people that God has put in our lives. We have to be honest, even in the small things.
Even, man, we took like a bike, you just reminded me, we took a bike ride together as a family the other day. I guess it was Monday. And I just found myself, like, I was in the back, he's in the front, with Ariella hitched to the back of the bike, and then the kids are in the middle, and I'm in the back, making sure no one's left behind. And I just found myself, like, just thanking God for the little things. I took a moment. I said, you know what? Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you, Lord, for this. Small things that a lot of times we overlook. And, you know, I love to do that because it's easy when something great breaks through and you're like, man, thank you, God. I was praying for this. We had the prayer team going. But, you know, he does so much for us day to day. And I think when when we can be thankful in the small things, like that's a good thing. That continues to perpetuate like good things within us because God is good and he does, like I said, he does so much. It's important to stop and say, thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, that you take care of us. Thank you, God, that our children are healthy. Thank you, Lord, that we're, you know, able to do this and go on this ride. Thank you, Lord, for nature. You know, like we overlook things all the time and nothing can really bring that to light than being on this quarantine, you know, and being cooped up for so long. And you're like, man, thank you, Lord, that we have such a beautiful church and wonderful people and, you know, and so many great leaders. And just it's important to take time, stop, and give God thanks for the big and the small.
Yeah, amen, amen. I love that. Verse 11, it says, and if you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? I think this is exciting to see that the proving ground for having true heavenly riches is what we do with our natural resources. And so there is this exchange that we can make. I can actually plant a seed in the natural and get a supernatural harvest. So as I'm sowing my natural resources, I can be benefiting in a spiritual dimension. So it's opening up a whole nother dimension in heavenly realms as I'm sowing a seed of my natural provision. Right. So I don't think as many Christians as should really understand this. Do you understand your natural resources? Just wrap your head around this. Your natural resources can be translated into spiritual gifts and opportunities. Jesus says that true riches from heaven can be entrusted to you if you handle your worldly resources the right way. So what is this about? Verse 11, prove that you are worthy to be trusted with heavenly riches by how you handle your worldly wealth. Natural resources are the proving ground for spiritual resources. Be trustworthy and unlock a new dimension in the spirit. It's funny how this key to greatness is it's overlooked, it's misunderstood, and it's not grasped by so many of our brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, if you could realize, man, I could have access to certain spiritual riches. This is Jesus that told us this. It wasn't somebody like hypothesizing this. I'm not making this up. This is right here, Luke 16, 11. He says, if you can be trusted with how you sow into people and how you sow and enrich relationships around you, then I will be able to entrust to you heavenly riches. That's amazing. That's an amazing thought.
It is. I have something for verse 12.
Okay.
So verse 12 says, and if you're not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with things of your own? I have like a personal thing about this particular verse because I grew up in a home where it's very important to consider others. I was always raised, consider other people and where they are and where they've come from and what belongs to them and be mindful, be careful, you know, with their stuff. And so one, like I'll just give you an example. When we would go out to the movies sometimes with friends and stuff and they'd just dump stuff on the floor and I'd be like, oh my gosh, somebody has to clean that up. And, you know, other people's response might be, well, that's their job. You know, but I've always been, I believe, you know, why make more work for somebody just because I want to be lazy? You know, so I think this verse to me, like, totally gives that a platform. basically, let us be considerate of other people's time, talent, their giftings, their things, their possessions. When, how are we going to be entrusted with great things for ourselves if we abuse or misuse others? When you go to a hotel and you leave all the lights on or leave like towels everywhere and you're just like, well, somebody else is going to get that. You know, like I know I watch my dad like go above and beyond sometimes to make sure somebody's taken care of. And I just say, man, you know, like I learn from that sort of thing. And I think we as Christians should be known. We should be known for going the extra mile, for being different, for being the ones that are like, man, they went the extra mile for me. You know, why would you do that? Like, let us shine that way by showing the love of Christ, by showing that we care, you know? So I think like it's important to examine ourselves and say, how do we do that? Jesus, work in me, help me to have that consideration of others, that when we're working together, when we're doing something, they see you through me. It's not just so that we can be praised. That's not the point. The point is that we're showing the love of Christ through our actions.
Work on me, work on me, work on me, work on me, Jesus. You know what I'm talking about, commission. I don't know why I thought of that.
I don't think anybody knows who commission
work on,
is
commission anymore. Fred Hammond's original group.
I know. Times have changed.
You got to know your history. All right. So be faithful. I think we get this backwards in the pursuit of our calling, in the pursuit of a business God has called us to open, or a nonprofit. Sometimes we approach our calling in God from a selfish standpoint. And actually, Jesus gives us an amazing strategy here. He says, be faithful helping someone else's dream, vision, ministry, business, and God will give you your own. Yes. I love it. Let me read it for you. It says, and if you're not faithful with other people's things, that includes other people's visions, other people's right. business. If you're an employee right now, God's not going to be able to entrust you with your own business if you're not a good employee. If you're not faithful serving somebody else in a ministry area, God's never going to make you team captain. He's never going to raise you up to be in charge of a ministry if you can't be faithful under somebody else. So be faithful helping someone else launch their dream. Someone else further the ministry God has given them to do, or the business, or whatever it may be, and then God will give you your own. And sometimes God may ask you to serve over here in someone else's thing, and it's not really anything like what God is calling you to do. But still, when you serve, God uses that to bless you. Mm-hmm. I remember hearing Miles Monroe live. And he was talking about before God really blessed him and made his ministry really big, that he served Oral Roberts. And he was talking about all the things that he did and would help him carry his bags, stuff that you're like, isn't there, you know, so-and-so that could do that? But he took pride in it because he understood that, you know, when you're helping someone else, when you're serving someone else, that God's going to give you your own thing. Joseph, before he became the right hand of Pharaoh, he served Potiphar. Elisha, before he became the most well-known prophet in the whole nation, Elisha served Elijah. So we could give examples all day in all different fields, business and ministry and nonprofits and whatever. That when we serve in someone else's thing that God has given them, God enriches and blesses ours.
Yes, that's good.
You got your microphone down. I'm not going to say anything on that. So this key thing that's just been reverberating, not just today for me, but just for this season, has been faithfulness. Man, yes. Don't give up on what God has told you to do. Just because you're going through a difficult season, or just because you can't figure out how to fit this part and this part together. Because if God gave it to you, don't give up. Stay faithful. Yeah. Get around some people that are doing what you're doing or something similar to what you're doing and serve them. And God will enrich and open up doors for you to do your own thing because God wants to bless. And in the kingdom, we sow into each other and God causes a win-win situation. That's the kingdom. That's what the kingdom of God is all about. It's about a win-win situation. So I am winning when I sow. I am winning when I reap. And so I want to enter into those type of kingdom opportunities. Let me pray for you tonight. God, I thank you, Lord, that you would stir up in us the spiritual desire to be faithful. God, I thank you, Lord, that we would look for opportunities, God, to sow into each other. We would look for opportunities to sow into relationships that you've brought into our life. Sometimes sow into relationships that we wouldn't have thought of that, but the Holy Spirit, you bring it to us. So God, we want to be obedient. And Father, thank you for all the things that you've dropped in our lap. God, that we can remain faithful in those things, God. We can be honest with you. We can be honest with ourselves. We can be honest with those around us about what's going on in our heart because it's a process. Faithfulness takes patience. And so, God, I thank you, Lord, that you'd stir that up in us tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Hope United podcast. Please consider planting a seed in this ministry. Any seed helps us get the gospel message out to those that would otherwise not hear it. If you want to give, please click the link below in the episode notes. If you're in the area, come visit us in Pembroke Pines, Florida. May God bless you, and may you possess the promise God has for you.